Well, Blockhead Nation, here we are. 100 plus episodes, 10 exciting guests, and many more to come, and the journey has just begun. Want to remind my listeners that your favorite Blockhead's associated with the Yogis Podcast Network, where you can listen to The Nightly Rant with Mike and Toria. You can listen to Liberty Revealed and one of my personal favorites, The Elite Podcast Academy, that will teach you everything you need to know about being a professional podcaster to take your show from 0 to 60 in 5.2 with all the tips from Mike himself from the Yogis Podcast Network. And also to remind you that I'm associated with the Dose Leprechauns page. Dose Leprechauns Media has taken off. The merchandise is looking great. Jason and Nate are killing it in the podcasting world, and Notre Dame football is looking promising. All that being said, the little redhead girl is giving me the go-ahead. So what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. This is going to be a little bit of a... I hate that it's a little bit delayed tonight, but at the same time, I'm really not that apologetic because the family has fed me well with some cake and some great dinner, having a little bit of a early birthday celebration. Yes, your favorite Blockhead's turning the big 3-5 this year, 35 years old. Not sure what really to celebrate on that one, but we can adhere to the fact that it's not been a bad year, and there'll be many more good years to come. So what's going to happen for sure is as soon as I get done here, I'm going to go back and have a little bit more cake and ice cream with the fam. But before we get started, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Grinds Coffee Pouches, guys. Those small pouches of flavored coffee that can help you feel sharp and focused throughout the day or throughout the night. Originally designed as a healthy, tobacco-free, nicotine-free alternative for those that are on chewing tobacco. That's what Grinds is doing. They've aided numerous people to kick the habit and to be able to continue impacting the world of tobacco cessation for those who are ready to make the change. So the healthy tobacco alternative, Grinds Coffee Pouches, use the link in the podcast, sign for their email updates, and find out how you can get 20% off of your very first purchase. Follow my blog page, follow the link, and make sure that you check out my friends over at Grinds Coffee Pouches. Now, guys, I have a few small shout-outs to give tonight. I will tell you that we just came from... Your favorite Blockhead spent some time out on the skating rink. Skating mostly fallen, I guess you could say. But I can mention that I was repping the Dose Leprechauns merchandise. Glad to be helping out my friends. But on a day like this, I cannot side with anybody in Notre Dame football. I have to side with my United States Navy team. But of course, as we know, they got steamrolled today. Not a bit surprised at all with the talent that's in Notre Dame. Always my... friends over there at the Dose Leprechauns page, Jason and Nate, are absolutely killing it in the podcasting world, and I love repping their shirts. One of my favorite shirts to wear. It's one of my most comfortable ones. You can get the merchandise if you follow the links that I have today. Also, I have to give a big shout-out to my friend Justin Gilley, the Rated JG podcast. Did a fantastic episode. I'm going to leave that link up in the blog as well for you guys to check out his opinion on current-day UFC. He gives some great rebuttals to what people would believe when it comes to pay for an MMA fighter versus many others that are out in the boxing world and also in the YouTubing world. So definitely want you to go check him out. Check out his link for that show. I promised people that I would come on here and do two things. I had two fan reactions that said, can you go back and you can mention your favorite Peanuts comic strip of all time? Because I believe I'm coming with my hat in my hands. I feel like I didn't really give a great description of what my favorite one was. I mean, the comic strip that is nearest and dearest to my heart would definitely be the one that Charles Schulz did for D-Day. But I really didn't take the time to go over the humorous one. The one that I actually get a chuckle out of every time. And I'll make sure that I do that for this podcast. And also, I was asked to do a rundown, do a post-UFC 244. Since my boy Brim from Grindhouse Radio came on the show last time, giving him a round of applause for a great podcast, giving a round of applause to my friends at Dos Leprechauns, and a round of applause to the Ray of JG podcast. So lots of love coming from the Blockhead Nation going back that way. So to start with, just with the comic strip, one that I didn't mention when I was doing a live Facebook recording of this was there's a particular one that Charles Schulz used at the beginning of A Boy Named Charlie Brown. And that happens to be my most favorite humorous comic strip to this day. If you don't know which one I'm discussing, in the Peanuts comic strip, you have Charlie Brown, Linus, and Lucy. And they stop and they start doing some cloud watching. And in A Boy Named Charlie Brown, this is how the episode begins. Lucy's saying verbatim from the strip, "Aren't the clouds beautiful? They look like big balls of cotton." And she mentions if you use your imagination, you can see lots of things in the cloud formations. Well, of course, we hand it over to the intellectual one of the group, Linus, about what he sees in the clouds. And he mentions, if I believe I'm getting this pretty accurate, maybe about 99% accurate, what I'm going to tell you. Linus says, "Well, those clouds appear to be the map of the British Honduras on the Caribbean." Of course, you see Charlie Brown's head pop up briefly. Not sure what he's thinking yet. And then he mentions, "That crowd up in the cloud up there looks like a portrait of Thomas Eakins, the famous painter and sculptor. And that group of clouds over there gives me the impression of the stoning of Stephen. I can see the Apostle Paul standing over to one side." And of course, Lucy comes back and says, "Okay, that's pretty good analysis. What do you see in the clouds, Charlie Brown?" And Charlie Brown stops for a minute and thinks. And then he says, "Well, I was going to say that I saw a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind." That one would have to be my absolute most favorite humorous one. And of course, it's a great lead-in into one of my favorite TV series episodes of all time, A Boy Named Charlie Brown. Absolutely love that episode. Grew up with that one and will always hold a special place in my heart. So I got to answer the fan question on that one. Will not disclose to you who that was that reached out to me about this, but I will share that at the beginning. And I'm sure there is something one day when you guys are able to fund my trip. Yes, I say that as in, it would be helpful if the Blockhead Nation one day would consider sending the little redhead girl and myself to the Charles Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California. Of course, after everything that's happening in California is all said and done, we continue to send up our thoughts and prayers about California and the wildfires that are still spreading or still have devastated throughout the holidays. It seems to be diminishing somewhat at this point. It's not top of the hour headline news. But that would be a huge dream for the Blockhead Nation to be able to go out to the Charles Schulz Museum. And with enough of you guys contributing to the Ko-fi site, for enough of y'all to purchase enough affiliate products, maybe one day to be able to get the sponsorships we need. And one day that might actually become a reality, and I think that'll be thanks to you guys, that we can make that trip. And of course, I'll give you, in real time, everything that happens on those days whenever we go out there. So that can be down the road in the future. I'm sure there's something about that particular comic strip, or somewhere that might be displayed in the Charles Schulz Museum, and I'll definitely make sure I pay tribute to that when that time comes. And of course, now that we have the post UFC 244. Again, if you want a great description of everything that's happened with UFC 244, I will send you over to my friend Rated JG, the Rated JG podcast. Go and take a listen to his analysis about what has happened. And what I will give you is a few things that I can break down from the beginning. Starting just with the main card. I could go into Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker, but I'm going to save that for another segment when I start to discuss Dominic Reyes and his breaking news story that he is going to be stepping into the cage in February with none other than the light heavyweight champion himself, John Jones. I will save that for the next part of the segment, but to give you a rundown of UFC 244, we have a fantastic knockout, beautiful kick from Kevin Lee, dropping Gegard Gillespie, and thus you have him, Kevin Lee, who has returned. He's back. Huge accolades with that one. And then we get into the next segment. And I will say this now. Mark my words. I have gotten two different sides of the coin at this point from Donald Trump's attendance being cage side at Madison Square Garden for UFC 244. We have Donald Trump Jr.'s response informing the fans that Dana White turns to Donald Trump and says that he had never seen anything like this in the 25 years that he's been doing the sport. And he says it was, and I quote, awesome. Of course, there are others that I guess if you go further into the night and you see Donald Trump on the Titantron on the big screen and you have a chorus of boos that are running through the arena, it's hard to know what the real aura, what the actual feeling is coming out of that arena. You have the owner's response, whether he's being cordial, whether he is being sincere or not, and you have the fans' reaction. But what I can tell you is this, and if this comes to fruition, that you heard it on the Blockhead Nation first, you heard it here, just the fact that Donald Trump is in attendance, the first time we've ever had a president cage side at a UFC event, MMA, that was almost completely disbanded and completely deemed illegal throughout almost 50 states from its inception, to finally having Donald Trump sitting at cage side, current day president of the United States. Never has happened before. And then you have the heavyweight fight with Derek Lewis and this Bulgarian who gives him a run for his money, which in many ways, when you look at the scorecards, why he pulled off a decision, it's hard to determine. But I would like to believe some of that has to do with his post-fight remarks, where Derek Lewis mentions to the crowd that Donald Trump, you may not have had a great run this first 4 years, but when you get reelected, then you're going to have to fix it. However he explained this, which was hilarious, by the way, here's what I stand by. If Donald Trump is going to be reelected in 2020, it will not be because of the debates. It will be because of his attendance at UFC 244 and the MMA base that are willing to go cast a vote for him. I stand by that. I stand by the fact that Derek Lewis giving his response is what's going to solidify his returning to the White House. I stand by that. Are there other variables at work? Sure. But you cannot deny how the public sees somebody, whether it's on the television. You can date that back to when you had the first election, the first debates between Kennedy and Nixon, where Nixon is sick and has sweat on his upper lip and comes across as does not come across with a great persona. Then you have the handsome, well-spoken Catholic nomination for the Democratic Party, which is Jack Kennedy. And he pulls off the win by a few votes. The power of television. You have the power of Twitter in 2019. The social media influence, plus Dana White's response, plus the fact that he is at cage side, at Madison Square Garden, UFC 244, possibly the largest audience to date. Plus, you also have The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who is there with this BMF title, bringing in more eyes on the product, and more people discussing where Donald Trump is at that day. So depending upon the aura, depending upon that, if he is reelected, it is not going to be because of the debates. It's not going to be because of the fact that he is able to walk over everybody that the Democratic Party can conjure up for the 2020 elections. It will be because of this particular event. And you will have heard it here first. And I will recirculate this particular part of the episode from the archives. I will send it back at the end of the results. You heard it here first. I told you so. Derek Lewis just solidified Donald Trump's re-election. His attendance, just solidified his reelection. If that all comes to fruition. Now, if it doesn't, then I'm going to leave this buried deep in the archives and I won't even bother to dig it up again. We'll bury the hatchet and leave the handle sticking way out. Moving further into the contest, you have Wonder Boy, who obviously has returned, who gets a solid win. You have the co-main event, Kelvin Gastelum and Darren Till. Had a hard time picking between these two until the eye poke, whether intentional or unintentional, by Kelvin Gastelum makes me go, okay, I'm tired of this current day trend that is happening with fighters who can't keep their hands closed to close the distance, who are able to manage an eye poke. So Darren Till, obviously, I swing back that way, and he puts on a great performance, gets his hand raised at the end of the night. Then The Rock comes out, sits with Dana White at the announce tables. You have Jorge Masvidal come out. You have Nate Diaz grace the cage. And we have the main event of the evening. And there is no denying that when you look at the cards, that Jorge Masvidal is winning this fight. If it were to go to fourth and fifth round, we all know, and most people that follow MMA know, that Nate Diaz lives for the final rounds. He is like the New England Patriots when it comes to MMA. When you get to the very end of the fight, that's when he wakes up and everybody starts panicking. Fourth quarter, nobody knows how to deal with the New England Patriots. That's where they live. Nate Diaz lives for those final rounds. But you have a doctor stoppage. And there is nothing that I can stand by except for this. When you tell me that Nate possibly could have continued, it doesn't matter in the doctor's eyes. It never has. I'll take it back a few years to the first season of The Ultimate Fighter. Chris Leben versus Kenny Florian. Kenny Florian throws a slicing elbow, catching Chris Leben above his eye. John McCarthy tries to reason with the doctor. I don't think it's that bad, Doc. This is in Chris Leben's book, by the way. I think he can continue. The doctor is hearing none of it. His job is to protect the fighter so they can continue to fight another day. Thus, you have Kenny Florian who advances in season one. Advance that a little bit further on. Title match between Randy Couture and Vitor Belfort. You have another cut incident where nobody's happy about the title change from Randy to Vitor. But as the saying goes, they want to run it back. They handle it well. Fast forward to Madison Square Garden at a previous event with Bellator, Brent Primus versus Michael Chandler. This one, you have Brent Primus acting like a prima donna after he had knocked some of the tendons loose in one of Michael Chandler's ankles. But of course, the doctor's concern is he doesn't need to be fighting anymore. If the doctor is saying that Nate Diaz doesn't need to continue, you have no case. Whether you are a diehard member of the Nate Diaz cult, or if you are just a fan that feels you were cheated out of your ESPN Plus subscription, a doctor stoppage is what it is. It has not changed, and it will continue through the sport. But I will tell you now, that allows for some more moving parts. And that allows for a alternative that I want to pull in. Another alternative I can discuss with you guys is for your shaving issues. And I want to talk to you about my friends over at Blade Tap. The 3-in-1 razor unclogger, sharpener, and holder. Cut your shaving time in half, save money, no wasted water, and sharpen your blades for a smooth and comfortable shave every time by using the Blade Tap. Why don't you check out my link that's in the blog. Go to check that out and see how you can get 20% off of your purchase by using the promo code TAPITCLEAN. That's all one word, all uppercase. It's in the blog. You'll be able to see the words TAPITCLEAN. Get yourself a Blade Tap, cut your time in half, and get a more comfortable shave with my friends at Blade Tap. Now, to bring it back as what I stopped at, I did mention how Dominic Reyes, according to breaking news, Dominic Reyes will be facing John Jones in February, which not too long ago, on this particular podcast, you had two MMA fighters. You had Sam Alvey, who graced us with his presence, And Sam Alvey has to back out of a fight recently due to an injury, unfortunately. And that means that there are some other moving parts that have to happen. You have the prelims with Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker. But even there, if you look at the guy who is undefeated coming out of Joe Stevenson's camp, we talked with him on the phone too on this same podcast. And his name came up, Dominic Reyes, according to Low Kick MMA and Bloody Elbow, are all solidifying that they are to face each other in February. John Jones versus Dominic Reyes. Undefeated streak versus, quite frankly, the very best there is. Now, those that have followed me know that it's painful for me to say that. Because when you think of John Jones, I think of him as the dirtiest player in the game. To help you out with that, anybody that happens to be a professional wrestling fan, who do you know to be what's considered the dirtiest player in the game, but possibly the greatest to ever do it? That would be Ric Flair, am I correct? Most people will point back to him. When you talk about the two greatest of all time, the names Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan tend to come up more often than not, and for different reasons. One for entertainment purposes, the other one for actual territories and winning titles, and being the most recognizable heel in the history of the business. If you ever wanted to identify the dirtiest player in the game in MMA, it's John Jones. Not just outside of the cage, but inside of the cage, with the eye pokes, with how he illegally kicked Anthony Smith. Plus, we know that there are some holes in his game after he's faced Santos, but you still have some dirty, dirty fighting that's happening inside the cage with John Jones. But still cannot deny that this guy is possibly the greatest to have ever done it. And now you have a guy who is a number one contendership, plus 12-0 undefeated. John Jones may not need him, but Dominic Reyes sure needs this fight at this point to solidify that we heard it here with the Blockhead Nation. Sam Alvey, it would have been wonderful to see him go forward to have a title shot, but he spent time recovering. Speedy recovery to you, Sam Alvey, but to hear that one of Joe Stevenson's camp, Dominic Reyes, is getting a shot at the biggest title in the world, the light heavyweight championship for the UFC. Very exciting times for that. And I will also bring this another way. We'll bring it into that the next big fight that's coming would be for the welterweight title with Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington. When it comes to these two guys, there's not really a favorite that I have. I will tell you, as much as I cannot stand Colby Covington, not just because of his brash attitude, but also because of the fact that I see unoriginality one-on-one in everything that he does when it comes to being on the mic. And yes, when you have him talking, when you have you talking about him, he's one. When I start to piece all this together, bringing it back to what would be the next chapter in the BMF title. Because this title has no lineage, especially now with the doctor stoppage. There's nothing else that Dwayne The Rock Johnson can do except to put that around the waist of the rightful winner, whether we're happy about the result or not. I love seeing the fact that Dana White's little gimmick fell through. That part was hilarious to me. And those who watched my Facebook Live video happened to notice that. But I thought that part was hilarious. But I will tell you, after Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington is said and done, and these two fight, which if logic tells me I'm leaning towards Colby Covington, if Colby is able to stand on top of the welterweight mountain, who do you have immediately in the rankings as the number one contender? It just got solidified at Madison Square Garden. Jorge Masvidal is the number one contender for the welterweight championship. I would love to see Colby Covington have to defend his title after defeating Kamaru Usman, having to defend it against none other than Gamebred himself. I would love to see Colby Covington be baptized by the blood of Jorge Masvidal's soup bones. I would love to see Street Jesus be able to get this moment to have this matchup. If anybody could shut the mouth of Colby Covington in desirable fashion, that man is none other than Jorge Masvidal himself. You heard it here. You heard a fan request. And that is where my hopes are for what could transpire. And as we wrap up the rest of the night, I want to talk to you guys about my friends over at Century Martial Arts. Gain a competitive advantage and advance yourself as a martial artist by choosing the best training gear from Century. Whether you're a black belt instructor, you're a fitness enthusiast, you're a student, or you just are an enthusiast of the martial arts, or you want to try it for the first time, get in better shape, Century has what you need to get the most out of your training. When you get to checkout, after you get your items, make sure you use the promo code SAVE10 to get 10% off of your purchase. And guys, if this was not the greatest piece of art that I put together for you, I can only tip my hat to you. I do have a conference that I'll be attending next weekend, so it's possible I might be recording from my phone from the lobby in one of the hotels that I'm staying at. We have a big social studies convention in Austin, Texas to check out. Maybe I can give you a recap of what's going on there. And guys, you heard all of it here, and I will continue to give my love and support to the Blockhead Nation, but it's time for me to go back and enjoy myself some more cake and ice cream. This is your favorite Blockhead. We'll see you next time. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.